back in February of this year, we invited you, our wonderful, enthusiastic community, to be part of the Plan Strong Test Kitchen and provide us with feedback around our all-new burger mixes. And I got to tell you, the feedback and support that you guys showed us blew us away, and we have been hard at work in the kitchen, and we now have our first program graduates, three delicious skillet burger mixes. We're going to be launching them into the universe so you can stock up ahead of Memorial Day weekend. You can check them out at planstrong.com. The three flavors are black bean, portobello mushroom, and our all-new sweet curry. Once mixed with 6 to 7 ounces of water or broth, the dough may be pan-fried, air-fried, or baked to a crispy, aromatic, rich golden brown. These mixes, they take the hard work out of making healthy burgers at home and yield quality, quality results. They're whole grain, oil-free, a great source of protein and fiber, and they're made from a combination of ground oats, beans, seeds, and spices without any of the added sugar or excessive salt. I want to thank all of you for being such an important part of the Plant Strong Test Kitchen, and I know that you're going to love these as much as I do. Thanks so much. All right, my Plant Strong broccolinis, if you don't have a ticket yet for Plantstock 2022, what in the world are you waiting for? I want you to join us September 9th to the 11th. It's a virtual event, no excuses whatsoever. Save the date as we rock and roll with the biggest brock stars in the plant-based space. We're going to head into each one of their kitchens. You get a bird's eye view into their kitchens. And we're going to cook with these brock stars. And we're going to serve up all these delicious and inspiring whole food, plant-strong, oil-free recipes that are going to help you maximize your lifestyle, crush your health goals, and your health span goals. For the full lineup of this year's awesome weekend, visit plantstrong.com/plantstock. One ticket gets you access for the entire household. Gather your family and friends and join ours. I cannot wait to see you in just a few weeks.
I really meant this as a tip of the hat to my mom, because as she said earlier in the podcast, that my dad came home with this theory about how to prevent, or he used to call it arresting and reversing heart disease and a lot of just chronic Western diseases. And so he came home with this theory, and my mom was the one who took this theory and put it into practice. She made this happen. I mean, my dad can make his morning oats, but then that's it. Like, he didn't have time. He didn't learn. I mean, he's a genius in what he does. His skills are, you know, he's got mad skills in the surgical theater, but she made it happen. She was a full-time job, 4 kids, and a husband who worked full-time. She would shop, cook, create, and invent this new way of eating.
I'm Rip Esselstyn, and welcome to the Plant Strong Podcast. The mission at Plant Strong is to further the advancement of all things within the plant-based movement. We advocate for the scientifically proven benefits of plant-based living and envision a world that universally understands, promotes, and prescribes plants as a solution to empowering your health, enhancing your performance, restoring the environment, and becoming better guardians to the animals we share this planet with. We welcome you wherever you are on your Plant Strong journey, and I hope that you enjoy the show. I got to give you all a big kale to the yeah, because I want you to get fired up, because today I'm going to sit down with two of the most amazing women that I know, and we are going to live fierce, stay bold, and eat delicious with none other than my mother, Anne, and my sister, Jane. They've been on the podcast before, but not for this reason. And that's because we are celebrating the release of their new cookbook, Be a Plant-Based Woman Warrior, which is out and available right this second. Now, it is always a party with these two, and we were fortunate enough that we all kind of convalesced at the Esselstyn family farm a few weeks ago. And I'm sure you know what that means. It can get a little nutty when the three of us are together because that Esselstyn feistiness is alive and well. Now, of course, I am super biased, but I want you to know that this isn't your typical cookbook. Truly, it's a peek into our family's history with wonderful stories, incredible photos, inspiring quotes, and delicious recipes from three generations of Esselstyns. Now, mostly, Jane and Ann pay homage to the people who started it all, Ann and Essie, for forging and navigating that undiscovered world of plant-based nutrition at a time when virtually no one understood how vital it was for our health, including myself and my two brothers and my sister Jane. Here we are, all of us, decades later, and I am so smitten to be able to sit down with Jane and Ann and share some of the inspiration and recipes with you today that are in this cookbook. My mother, Ann, has been called the Julia Child of plant-based cooking, and I think you'll see why after you dig through some of the recipes and photos in this fantastic cookbook. And the absolute same thing can be said of my sister, Jane. This truly is a fun and inspiring message of hope for all women to improve their own health so they can remain strong, bold, and fierce in body and mind alike. So let's do it. Let's jump in with Jane and Ann, and let's become plant-based women warriors. Here we are, Jane and Ann. Another episode of the Plant Strong podcast. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this is the third time that you guys as a team have appeared on the Plant Strong podcast.
I think so.
Yeah. And this is a very special podcast because you guys have launched something really special. And Jane, how long have you guys worked on this project?
Wait, what's the name of the project?
Be a plant-based woman warrior. Live fierce. Stay bold. Eat delicious.
We actually got...
What a team.
But we got this project March 7th, 2020. So right before the world went sideways. And we felt so lucky because not only did we have this project together, but we had something to do. Mm. Because no one knew where this whole COVID thing was going. So we had this project, something to do. And the third best thing about it is that we are next door neighbors, not across the street, but like next door, the little pine needle path going back and forth. So we had this project to work on and food to share all throughout the last, well, it's been 3 years now, but it's been in production for a year.
Well, what I love too is that in the book, you have photos of the cozy little pine needle path that actually takes you from Two Pepper Ridge Road to, is it three?
Three Pepper Ridge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our street is anarchistic. This makes no sense numbers-wise. So yes, we are side by side, two and three. Even and odd.
Yeah. So I want to dive deep into this book and the inner workings of it. But first, we are at the farm, the Esselstyn family farm. We are here as a whole big Plant Strong clan for, gosh, about another week. I know you're leaving soon, but have we had a blast or what?
Amazing.
It's been so fun because it's Ryan and my 25th wedding anniversary. And I, of course, gave all the brothers and their families marching orders. They had to all come with a dish and they had to come with a family dance. So we had the coolest dances that everyone gave Brian and me, if you will, for our 25th wedding anniversary. I mean, what? That's the best gift you can get in my book.
Yeah.
Because I love dancing and I love family.
And so what, were there 20 of us, right?
I think
there were 20 of us that night.
We had some plus ones.
Yeah.
21. My sister was there.
Yeah. And just the plant-based extravaganza that was served, which we're going to talk about here in a second, the games that we played, the toasts that were made, the dancing, the creativity. Will you share one of the, what I thought it was the best creative, I guess, what would it be? Creative game that you asked each family to do or each person to do, which was you got to be a vegetable.
Kryl. Yeah. Well, Kryl was.
Is that Kryl's idea?
Our family, yeah. Kryl, our daughter, took the responsibility for our family because I sort of did the introduction, glide down the stairs like Ginger Rod or Fred Astaire. Anyway, she had everybody act like a vegetable, behave, move, dance.
You had to announce your vegetable and then be your vegetable.
Your fruit or vegetable. So we had like bunches of grapes rolling along the yard. We had three heads of romaine prancing across the yard. We had
dinosaur kale.
Yarr! That was a great one.
We had snap peas. We had Brussels sprouts. I mean,
yeah.
Anyway, this is a game that I encourage you all to play the next time you have a like friends over. It is a great after dinner or before dinner game.
Yes. Or between courses.
So I want to talk for a second before we dive into this about each of your journeys, right? Because keep in mind, this audience, this Plant Strong audience is growing, and maybe some people don't know the background as much, but can you, like, you know, give us the Reader's Digest version of your journey to whole food plant-based?
Well, it started with my husband, who is, of course, the reason why we're all plant-based, and he is the reason that we are fiercely plant-based, actually. And he started back in around 83. He took on the heart disease patients who were really at their wit's end of living. They were ready for the grave. And he gave them a plant-based diet, and they miraculously made an incredible recovery.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we were on our way. And before he did that, we had to go plant-based. He felt that there's no way he could ask his patients to do it if he wasn't doing it. So, of course, I took it on, and there was no internet, no cookbooks that I had. And maybe there in the West Coast, there was the Mary and John McDougall, but they were on the West Coast, and that was like being in, that was far, far away back then. And we didn't have friends. People, I mean, the word vegan and vegetarian were kind of weird words. So, but we did it. One of the things that really helped us do it was we had been in Puerto Rico my husband had been speaking there relating to the parathyroid world of his. And we had had rice and beans and loved it. So that is where we actually started out eating. And believe it or not, it is where we've ended up. It is our favorite meal. It is all our family's favorite meal. It is our Christmas Eve meal when we have guests. So, but we did it. And all of you can do it. The one thing I feel strongly about is that everybody today is at such a disadvantage, and we were so lucky back there then because there was no vegan junk food. There was no substitute for ice cream. There was no substitute for hamburger. And so there was nothing to tempt us in that other world as if we were being good by doing it. Because the key thing I can say, and I say it all the time, is you have to read ingredients. If you know that you are not eating meat, you're not eating dairy, and you're not eating oil, then read the ingredients and you will be horrified at the long list, which you have to have a magnifying glass to read.
Thank you, Anne. Jane, so, I mean, you were obviously well aware of what SC was doing. When did you decide, okay, this sounds pretty good, I'm on board?
on the plant-based?
Yeah.
I, as a kid, never liked meat, so it was kind of easy for me to jump into this. And I was a freshman in college, so I was like 17, 18 when I called home, and our brother Zeb, who was still at home, said, hey, Jane, mom and daddy are doing something weird. We're not eating any more meat or dairy or oil or sugar or salt. Or I'm like, goodness. Like everyone says, well, what are you eating? And it actually sounded fine. And so I came home from college right about then, and I just haven't looked back. So I'd say right around, I mean, you did the same thing. Like, we had to transition. I hate that word for this, but like we...
Well, from college into...
We were all like college kids launching ourselves into life, but we had this... my parents just kind of luckily tucked this into us right as we were making our way, and it hit us all at an advantageous time. Like, I know I was swimming for Michigan. I was a scholarship swimmer at the University of Michigan. You were a triathlete, professional triathlete. Another brother was, you know, swimming for his university, and all four of us, actually. So to eat this way and feel good and feel okay and strong and, you know, swimming and being an athlete, it was proof was in the pudding, if you will. And I don't know, we just stuck with it.
Yeah.
Haven't looked back.
Yeah, exactly. And I noticed that in this dedication to this book, you dedicate it to Essie.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the reason.
He's the shoulders upon which we all stand.
That's right. And I also noticed in here that you say that the fiercest person that you know in the world is who?
My mom.
And why is that? What makes her fierce?
Well,
I roar!
Hear me roar!
Eat this! Read ingredients! There's coconut oil in that. Don't eat it.
Yes, mommy.
Try this. It's delicious.
Well, you know, what's funny is that, so with the antics that you're pulling right now, there's a quote in here from Jane's husband, Brian Hart, and he basically says, Anne is a bully, but a bully for good. So you are. And it's adorable. You're an adorable bully.
Right. And I tell you, it really works. Really, it Rip has three children, and it particularly works on two of his three children. And Hope will try absolutely anything I ask her to try. Cole will sort of. And Sophie will refuse to try anything.
Well, you got her to try a grape once.
No, but she's great. I mean, I tell you, Rip, I have been blown away by the sandwiches that Sophie builds with hummus.
Hope or Sophie?
Sophie. Yeah. Sophie builds who
Hope.
With...
I think you mean Hope.
No, I mean Sophie.
Okay.
Sophie. Okay. They are beautiful. She puts sprouts. She puts some avocado. She puts arugula. I mean, they are amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She's learned.
Yeah. Well, you're very persuasive. You definitely are.
So Sophie is, and Hope, are plant-based woman warriors in training.
Yes, they are.
Indeed. On the rise.
So you guys, Jane, you've been living next to Anne now for how many years?
We have been living next door on Pepperidge Road for probably 16, 17 years.
Okay, 16, 17 years. I mean, how would you say your relationship with Anne has developed over the last 16 years? I mean, do you feel closer to her now than you ever have?
Or, well, it's a mother-daughter relationship.
She's the boss, Jane is.
Yeah, but it's...
Says the boss.
Yeah, but you guys work together now. You're YouTube sensations. You create books together.
Rip. What? It's all Jane. All Jane. This book is all Jane.
And every time we have a demo, every time we have a video, every time we have anything, like I'll put it together. I'll go to the store. I'll shop. I'll prep. I'll mise en place. I get it right. And then mommy comes and she's like, Jane, I have nothing to say. You start. You just go. So I'll say, hi, this is. And she'll go, let me just say, let me just add, let me just, let me. And before I know it's all her. And that's what everybody actually learns the most from. And I think loves the most. So,
well, yeah, no, Anne, you're very real and authentic to the core. Now, so this
apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
This is your what, sixth book?
No, this is.
I mean, collectively, is this your?
Well, you could say mommy wrote all the recipes in daddy's book.
Well, I know.
And then she wrote the book with me, that Brent Versace's cookbook.
Okay.
And so this is in a way her third, and it's my fifth, but we've overlapped for two. So I don't know.
But Jane, you did the recipes in Rip's books.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's the fifth book I've worked on or been a part of. I mean, I've always collaborated. I'm always have a co-creator.
And for those that are wondering, so tell me, what are the guidelines for the recipes that are in this book?
Our guidelines for this book, the Be a Plant-Based Woman Warrior, Live Fierce, Stay Bold, Eat Delicious, are the same as all of our books, which are really basic guidelines. I mean, we could just hand out one-page flyers saying, no meat, no dairy, no added oil, minimal salt, and minimal sweet. That's it. And we have because we do so much work with heart disease patients and people who are really sick and need to be compliant with guidelines, Rip had coined something, my parents' work, as plant perfect. And the plant perfect is really no meat, no dairy, no added oil, minimal salt, minimal sweet. It's plant perfect, but plant strong, same exact guidelines. But we do use a little bit of avocado and some nuts and some sauces in particular and some desserts. But that difference of some avocado and nuts is a world of flavor and possibility, and your tongue is so happy. So it's tricky because people think, wait, you said no this, no that. But we're talking plant perfect for heart disease patients, and we do not wiggle on that at all. Like,
and it is a world of difference for those patients who can really stick on those guidelines of no meat, no oil, no dairy, and no nuts and avocado if they have heart disease.
Yeah,
amazing.
And then plant perfect, plant strong, Rip's guidelines and all, you know, his whole branding is just that, like a little bit of nuts and
options. Avery has done in this book, tell them, Jane.
Penguin Publishing, Avery's our, they went through all the recipes because they know that we are sort of known for heart disease prevention. They went through it to make sure that the recipes in here that are compliant with our heart disease guidelines are labeled as heart disease friendly recipes. And if for some reason they're not, we have options to how you can change it. For example, if a salad has some walnuts in it or toasted pecans, we'll say, to make this heart disease friendly, remove the pecans. It's that simple. Some recipes, you cannot make them plant or heart disease friendly, so they just don't even say so.
Well, that's really smart that you guys did that. So if you guys are cool with it, what I'd love to do right now is walk through some of the recipes.
Rip, I have one thing I have to do. I can't not go on. I know. No, you're right, and we're going to do that. But there are just three things that I want to read to you. I talked earlier about getting Rip's children to eat, and one of my jobs in this book was to interview our children and grandchildren, how they felt about living plant-based. So
there's 10 of them.
There are 10 of them, but I just want to read three of them. One of them is not Rip's, and that is Georgie, who is 8. And she said, without being plant-based, I can't imagine how I'd live. I'd open the refrigerator and see things like chicken wrapped in plastic and just feel like, what happened? But my favorite quote in the book is from Hope, Rip's youngest, who is an amazing cook herself. And she was 7. And this is what she said. If you eat meat, you die. That was Hope. But this is Sophie, who was aged 11.
Can I get a kid in there?
No. I just want to do these three. I mean, you can add a kid. Whenever I eat good food, I feel good. And whenever I eat unhealthy food, something in my stomach just feels wrong. I'm lucky because it's been easy for me since I've been plant-based my whole life. Are plant strong. Plant strong doesn't mean just eating salads all the time. It means so many fun, unique things, like a kale cake with raspberry frosting, not just vanilla frosting with pink dye in it, but lemons and raspberries. And it's just really fun and tasty. So maybe that is a good lead-in to the food.
Yes.
Did you want to read something?
No,
you
good? No, they're all good.
Okay.
All great.
They're
quotes.
All good.
Okay.
They're all good.
Yeah.
But those.
So if you don't mind, first what I'd love to do is just say, and you move. Oh, there we go. I just want to go through quickly the different chapters of all the food, because I think you guys have done a brilliant job putting this all together.
Before we dive into the recipes, I kind of wanted to talk about why we decided to call this Plant-Based Woman Warriors. Like it's the title, and it's kind of the push of a lot of the text in the beginning. And so it's not just another plant-based cookbook in some ways, but I mean, it is, but it's sort of the push behind it was that I really meant this as a tip of the hat to my mom, because as she said earlier in the podcast, that my dad came home with this theory about how to prevent, or he used to call it arresting and reversing heart disease and a lot of just chronic Western diseases. And so he came home with this theory, and my mom was the one who took this theory and put it into practice. She made this happen. I mean, my dad can make his morning oats, but then that's it. Like, he didn't have time. He didn't learn. I mean, he's a genius in what he does. His skills are, you know, he's got mad skills in the surgical theater, but she made it happen. She was a full-time job, four kids, and a husband who worked full-time. She would shop, cook, create, and invent this new way of eating. So she, this is the tip of the hat to her. I want to be a plant-based woman warrior like her and have the energy, the gumption, the know-how, the can-do to do that. And also, it's a tip of the hat to, it's mostly women. I know it's not everybody, but the majority of people in the world who think about, shop for, choose, prep, create, and serve food are women. Not, of course, not everybody. I don't want to get pushback on that. I understand. My husband's a way better chef than I am. But the majority of us are women. So I'm just saying, be bold, be fierce. You can be delicious. I've seen it happen. And the third reason why this is for women, is that being a female in America in particular, because that's where I grew up, you as a female have a burden on you that is unique. And any female out there knows what I'm talking about. It is this invisible, heavy expectation about your body and your food and your shape and your presentation, your identity. It's this wrapped up mess of a thing. And I feel so lucky that plant-based came into my life when it did, because all four of us, Rip, Ted, Jane, Zeb, all four of us were nationally ranked swimmers when we were, you know, in our prime. And I know my brothers didn't think for 1 minute about, like, they didn't have any brain space about what they were eating and how it affected their body size and what they looked like or how they felt or what fit them anymore. Whereas I was this like crazy fit, nationally ranked swimmer for University of Michigan. And I would wake up and just be overwhelmed with like, what the heck am I going to be able to eat today so I can swim and perform and be fed and also like be satisfied and also not keep growing and getting these curves that I'm not feeling comfortable in. And again, plant-based eating kind of came into my life just then. How fortunate I feel I am, because it cut off all this, as a friend of mine coined it, food head, which is just that you wake up with that heavy worry and burden about who you are, your identity, your body, your food, and how you're going to move forward. And plant-based eating really removed that food head. So it's so nice. I don't have a scale to look at the numbers. I don't count a single calorie. I wouldn't even know how to. We don't count steps that we do. We don't count serving sizes. People are always texting us or writing, what's serving size? And we're like, we have no idea. No idea. And it's such freedom. So that's why this is really for women who just biologically, we're kind of a little different in that way.
I mean, it's freedom because we did not want people burdened with how many calories, how many grams of fat, how much protein, there's protein in everything, and just to be able to eat freely. However, when I say eat freely, there are so many people that call my husband who say, help, I'm losing too much weight eating plant-based. Well, duh. There's no meat, no oil, no dairy. And so you got to eat enough calories when you're eating, when you're moving to plant-based, if you are of a normal weight to begin with. And if you want to lose weight, it'll happen.
For a lot of people, that's a great problem to have, right?
Right. And if you do, if you are trying to lose weight, then you can consciously not eat a lot of bread and pasta and rolls and
just
bagels.
The more processed
just
things.
Move, yeah.
So Jane, when I read that chapter about the food head and what you, you know, kind of how you were experiencing that, it made me realize that I've never talked to you about that. And,
yeah, you were the crazy fit older brother who didn't have to think about it at
all. Well, I know, but that is, I think it's great that you are, you know, obviously it's part of this book. It's part of, you know, you sharing that experience, and I applaud you for it.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great.
To tell that story. I'm gonna keep going.
Okay. Story? No story?
I don't know which one.
Can't remember.
So she says, tell that story. Which one? Can't remember. Okay. So we're listening. So like
about chick.
Well, if you want to.
Oh, well,
yeah, I did remember. It's just that. Go ahead.
No, I was supposed to go skiing over one, like decades and decades ago with, I've got three brothers. So I was heading out with my brothers to go with another brother to meet up with all these people and friends. And so at one point we were gathering together, you know, at this location, at actually our house in Cleveland, to go somewhere. And in walked one of their friends. And he was wearing, I mean, again, these are all, we're all big swimmers, strong, big, strong, healthy, fit people. This guy had a shirt on that had a circle with a line through it. And there was a chicken on it. And looked like he was saying, like, no chickens, but it said, no fat chicks. And that just encapsulated so much of what I was experiencing in my life. Like, it's in the 80s of, oh my gosh, like he's able to wear this shirt saying like, hey, no fat chicks in my visual sphere, or what, I don't even know what it's saying, in his orbit. And I saw that, and I it was like a punch. I found myself, I didn't know how to think. I was like, I've got fat on my body, and I hate the word chick so much I can't even explain it. And I hid upstairs underneath my mom's desk, behind her filing cabinet. I didn't know what I was. I've never experienced that feeling in my own home, but this person coming in and wearing this, like if my brothers were wearing it, I'd be like, you can't wear that. I would been like, but how can I do this to this person I'm supposed to be going on this trip with? And I was like, I ended up not going on the trip because of the shirt. And I hope no one goes on a trip with anyone with that shirt.
Or you have a very frank conversation and it's an opportunity for growth.
Yeah.
For all parties.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But that's like asking the wounded to help. It's
well, ask for help then. Ask for help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so let's move on to some.
Yeah, well, that's like this woman warrior
effort
behind it. And that's why I'm so happy to have I've got three brothers, but I have my mom with whom to do this.
Yeah. So let's start with breakfast, okay? Powerful breakfast. So I saw something in here that I'm like, I want to go home and make this immediately. Because I want you all to know, this is my first time looking at this book. I've been able to look through it now for like 3 days. So the first is apple flax flapjacks. They look so adorable.
Kreil, Jane's oldest daughter, invented that.
Well,
I think it's probably out there, people making it, but it says pancake batter that you have pancake batter, and then you take an apple and you slice it, not how you would think, but you slice it kind of horizontally, so you're making sort of
so it has
rings,
a hole in the center
that have the core out of the center. So they look like
the donuts
because you put the apple slices in the batter and then cook them, flip them. It's so clever and yummy.
I can't wait to do it. And at first, I'm like, oh my god, you got donuts in this book. Okay. What about, so this is like such a vintage, quintessential Anne breakfast that I would love for you to just talk about it for a sec.
Everybody has to.
Warrior Oats.
It's imperative that everybody at least try it. It's steel cut oats, turmeric. It's everything you should be eating every day. It's got a little sriracha. It has nutritional yeast. It has shiitake mushrooms and a lot of kale and water. And it is, once you've eaten that, you are set for the day. You can go downhill if you have to.
Have it for dinner the first time you have it if it makes you go, woo.
Breakfast, Jane.
Okay. Bully for good.
And then I'm trying to choose like one of from a different kind of variety of different kind of groupings. So we have Anne's Warrior Oats. We've got the flapjack apple pancakes.
Apple, flax, yes. Flapjacks. It is so hard to say.
Bit of a tongue twister. And then one of my favorite fruits in the whole wide world is bananas. And so I saw banana muffins or bread, and I just like...
It's my recipe. Guess what? It was first recipe in the prevent and reverse heart disease. And it has been
when she sort tweaked of a few things.
Tweaked for here. It's okay. Wonderful.
Yep. Okay. So next, the next section, and there's so many. Oh, well, actually.
Grits and greens.
Grits and greens, because grits, I think I've had grits like three times in my life.
It's polenta. You've had it way more. Polenta is greens, or polenta is grits.
And of course, we advocate for people to have greens several times a day. So this is a nice way to knock some back early on. But what else can you tell me about grits and greens?
Grits and greens, I want to say, this recipe came from a great friend, Travis, who you've met. And she's,
oh my God,
she's one of my favorite people on earth. And she's from the South, and grits in the South are usually like, you know, they're greasy, and they're just, you can imagine what goes into grits in the South, especially if you live down there. It's the salty, greasy thing, or however you want to have it. This is a total different take on it. She just has it like with so much kale or Swiss chard, and she makes the grits kind of creamy because she makes creamy with broth, vegetable broth, or with some oat milk or maybe some soy milk and a little bit of hot sauce, and they're delicious. Brian and I eat this like three times a week now with
beans. It's kind of scary because anytime I go over every night, Jane and Brian are eating grits and greens.
So let's move on to sauces.
Secret weapons.
You're not going to believe it.
Secret weapons.
Jane, tell them about.
No, okay.
Wait. Rip, you've got to listen to this. Hawaii secret weapons is second.
Oh, sure.
Jane's.
Okay. The publisher just said, you know, you guys have all these, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, da, 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 da. But you keep saying that the sauces are like the answer to everything, and they're your secret weapons, and this is how you can go forward, and this is what makes all the difference. Can we put it first? And we were like, let's put breakfast first, and then you can put the secret weapons, because we actually do use some sort of sauce, hummus, dressing, salsa, or guacamole in everything thereafter. So they were clever in putting it right there.
Well, so the other night, and I posted this on Instagram, you posted it on Instagram, people were just like, are eating it up, and that you made these huge three, like, bowls with different whole food ingredients
Bowls this big.
Wooden bowls, just like crazy, wonderful, gorgeous. And each one you had, like, you know, the carrots, the tofu cubes, the purple cabbage, whatever it was, but each one was a little bit different.
Rice noodles, brown rice noodles.
Or brown rice, Napa cabbage, purple cabbage, just fresh tomatoes,
Yeah, and you said you were inspired by that
by Plant You, Carly.
Carly Budrod. But on each one, you used one of these different secret weapons.
Oh, right? Yes.
So on one, you had a lemon tahini.
We had a lemon tahini sauce on one.
On one, you had a Thai peanut.
Thai peanut.
And one, you had a walnut ginger.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yep. Good memory.
All sauces in here under secret weapons.
Yeah. So, but tell me about, so a couple that like, and they, I want to try every one of them, but what about watermelon salsa? Like, what can you tell me about that?
Because salsa obviously is just, you know, chopped up vegetables and herbs, something herbaceous, something sort of oniony or garlic, whatever you like, you can make a salsa out of. And we have found in some of the books that we did is that we, you know, didn't move from just like tomato salsa to corn salsa, but from corn salsa to mango salsa and then to peach salsa. And we have got like a grape and radish salsa in one of our books, books. And I had was trying to make salsa one night and I didn't have anything sort of fruity or sweet, because I kind of come to like a little bit of the balance of the sweet with the onion, kind of like almost like a coming from the chutney family. So I put in tiny little cubes. I mean, not minced watermelon, but just micro cubed watermelon with all the other sort of typical salsa stuff. And it was so yummy and refreshing, because salsa brings a moisture and this refreshment and pop of flavor to whatever dish you're using. So that was a ton of fun to make that one.
Yeah. And then, of course,
you know, Rip, one of the salsas that actually truthfully started in Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease and has been truthfully in some way or another repeated in every book of yours and every book of ours is our mango salsa, mango lime bean salads.
I mean,
Rip has just been talking this time with all our family that he wants to make a lime mango.
Right. No, I'm going to make an arugula.
Arugula.
Cannellini bean,
yeah.
Mango, mandarin orange salad.
Well, yum.
All right. What about like the lightning dressing? Because that's kind of a tried and true, right?
Awesome.
Oh.
Jane's lightning bowl
that's
dressing.
That's from our Engine 2 cookbook. But the lightning dressing, we were able to, all recipes have to be new in a new cookbook, but you can carry over less than 10% of things recipes that are kind of thread through. Like you need to have this walnut sauce in order to do this, or you need to have this or that. Lightning dressing was one of the ones I carried over from Engine 2 cookbook to this, because it is. I have been struck by it and forever changed.
Forever. Now, I want to talk about Mommy's Mushroom Dressing 3.0.
Gravy.
Gravy.
Did I say, yeah,
yeah, gravy.
But first, before you go, I just want to say the photography in this is incredible.
Next level, baby.
It is. And I just want to show you this one. Like, take a look at that, for example. And the background, how pure and clean, and the patina that's involved in there. I love it. And so you guys
and I am salivating thinking of that mushroom gravy on anything. It's awesome. And that mushroom gravy actually has been in our family for 30 years, and it just keeps getting a little changed.
And the way we made it better for women in this one is that historically it's had different amounts of miso and soy sauce, but this time we changed it. We had some sherry in it, but as we know, alcohol and breast cancer are just not compatible. So we just like, hey, this is where we like the sodium levels or the amount of salty taste in our mouths. And this one's gluten-free as well. So it has fewer allergens. It's kind of more user-friendly for all involved. No alcohol, no wheat, and less sodium. So give it a try. I think it's our best version there.
Actually, I still love a little sherry and mushroom gravy, because it leaves the flavor. The alcohol burns right off, and that
I think it's
flavor
a flavor that might
nice.
You might be familiar with historically.
Mm. Yeah,
like I don't.
You've got all these different pesto sauces: an avocado, a walnut, a cashew that look delicious, but hummus.
This is the best hummus. Hickory smokehouse hummus.
I was going to say, you've got all these hummuses. Talk to me about one that you think everybody needs to try.
Hickory smokehouse hummus. Hickory smokehouse hummus.
Well, tell me why. What makes it so?
I mean, look at all these hummi. The plural of hummus should be hummi, because we love it. The lemon of hummus, kreil, is crazy about that one. The black bean hummus, the roasted garlic hummus, they're all.
But what is it about the hickory smokehouse?
There's smokehouse almonds. I remember having all those, like, they're yummy, just smoky flavored. There's a new umami to it. There's a depth of flavor that's really satisfying. We also have like Besides that, we have like a thousand island hummus that we've never had before. Mm-hmm. And just, anyway, it's so fun to make different kinds of hummus. We have a ton of hummus in our books, beet hummus. And
yeah. And whatnot. You, I'm looking at a page right here, and the quote is, "The right vinegar makes all the difference."
Well,
that's a quote by Anne.
That's true. And the thing is, we have found that some quality balsamic vinegars are stunning. For instance, actually, Rip was right, but last night we had the giant cauliflower. Rip made dinner, and he roasted it, and it was amazingly delicious. And at the end, I said, "Well, Rip, it just needs some balsamic vinegar on it." He wouldn't put it on, but it still was good. I think it might have been even better with balsamic vinegar.
But you love balsamic vinegar because of, I think, the flavor that it gives different things. But you also love it because it has some medicinal purposes, right?
Yeah.
It enhances the endothelial cells to sort of do their duty of all the good stuff they do.
Yeah.
And also many, and including me, I don't mind some of the good balsamics just sprinkled on my salads alone with nothing else. For instance, a black bean salad with black beans, tomatoes, corn, some greens of some kind. Just balsamic vinegar is amazing on that.
Let's talk sandwiches, because I think that while I've been here, probably every lunch has been an open-faced sandwich that you have prepared.
I'm not looking.
And just the other day, we had some people over for lunch, and you made the most gorgeous open-faced heirloom tomato and corn slab sandwiches.
We've had wonderful corn the night before, and you can cut it off in a slab and put it on top of hummus and green onions, sprouts. Awesome.
Well,
and we also love just big slabs of summer delicious tomatoes on top of hummus with balsamic vinegar and basil. So delicious.
There's the
corn slab.
And then you've also got what's underneath it? You have some sort of green. Yesterday you had some greens in there.
Yeah, I just said we had sprouts. I had sprouts, arugula. What else in there? Green onions.
Yeah, that's good.
Maybe I think I even had some radish. Just fill those sandwiches with everything you can.
Purple cabbage.
Oh,
well, one of the
things. Purple cabbage should go everywhere you can put it, in every salad, every sandwich.
I love the color, and I don't know if I love the taste, but
of purple cabbage.
Yeah.
Oh, but I've grown to love it. It's weird, but I love it.
And what about this apple lidded sandwich? I saw that and I was immediately like, I would love to try that.
You know what?
Awesome.
It is absolutely crazy. And Rip, we're going to have it tomorrow.
Refreshing.
Our son Ted was doing one of his City Branch projects in Colorado and had gone out to lunch and it had something kind of similar to this. So we tried it. And what you do is actually it was a watermelon radish cucumber slice. And then on top, you put a big apple slice. And it is funny. It doesn't sound good, but when you bite into it, that sweet, wet apple
crunch
makes that whole sandwich. I mean, you could put nothing underneath it, and it would be amazingly delicious. I swear that is one of the top sandwiches to try in this book.
Do you have
the sandwich section is actually good. We've got a lot of great ones.
And sprinkle lemon pepper on top, no salt, and that's really makes it good.
Is there a particular apple that you two prefer?
No, I think just try and find the biggest apple you can so it covers your whole sandwich if possible.
I have it be crispy too. Now, I don't think a Macintosh would be the best necessarily, but something with a little crispness to it.
Yeah.
Just apple.
I love Macintosh, don't get me wrong.
All right, Jane, another thing that really caught my eye in here was your rock around the clock grilled wrap that's right here.
And those are just fun to make. And
I know, but I just love the the way you learn a new way of taking basically a tortilla and turning into this incredible
grilled triangle. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's, well, it's kind of up close. You start with it and you fill in, like, it's called rock around the clock, because you fill in the first 15 minutes of, if it was a clock, with one topping, and then you fold it over and then put another topping and fold it over, another topping, fold it over. So you've got all these layers that are sort of, each layer, it's sort of like a round lasagna. And then it, actually, when you have it all in a little wedge, you grill it in a panini or on a frying pan, and you've got a wonderful grilled sandwich.
Can we move into talking about soups? Because I would say the other thing, I'd say, tell me if you guys disagree, but I think the two things that we have more for lunch as a family than anything else are usually soups
and
or
open face
sandwiches.
Yeah.
Right?
Great.
And so soups, there's a couple that caught my eye here. One was
corn gazpacho, I bet.
Well, corn gazpacho absolutely did, because I've never had it.
Ah, oh,
so good.
When this
Elizabeth Bonita gave it to
Elizabeth Thornton. When corn season is going in its full swing, and don't make this with frozen corn that isn't super sweet, because you do need that really good sweet corn.
We're doing this at Plant Stock.
And it's, yeah. And it's so fun, because you need to have yellow tomato and yellow pepper in it. And it is beautiful.
And Jane delicious. Just mentioned Plant Stock. We are having a food-inspired, chef-inspired Plant Stock. It's our 11th anniversary, September 9th to 11th. We hope that you join us.
And we'll give you the tricks and the treats and the deliciousness of corn gazpacho.
What do you guys think of this soup, New Sentence soup?
Oh,
with so
the story, I love. So the other thing that I love about each one of these recipes is reading the header. Because
because you've tried to write a lot of headers yourself, and you know how much goes into that. That's why.
And your headers are just as good in your book. I think.
Well, but it gives you an attachment to the recipe and why it's important.
But Jane, tell them about this one, because it is really so fun what you did.
Well, I learned from a neighbor of mine who does not have the same politics as I do, that there's a soup at the Senate every day for the last 150 years or something. They've had the same soup in the Senate, and it, you know, it's a ham bone and salt and navy beans and whatever. So I just like, well, we have a new Senate these days, so we need to have it be a little more reflective in the soup. So I took out the ham bone, we put in bay leaf, and we put in some vegetable stock, and we put in black beans, parsley,
we put in
and
plant curvy, strong vegetable broth,
and curvy kale, and kosher salt, just to have a little more diversity and expression.
Parsley.
And yeah, I said that.
Okay.
And so anyway, I want everyone to serve themselves the soup with their own ladle, just like everyone having a chance to pound the gavel.
All right. Let's move on to another thing that I would say you're incredible at doing it. I don't know about you, and I can tell you that I'm not as good about it as I should be, and that is making warrior salads.
Oh, I used to be good at that, but Jane has surpassed everybody.
Okay.
Her salads are to die for.
Jane, well then tell me about the Wonder Woman salad.
Ooh.
For starters, unless you want to talk about the Three Goddesses.
Three Goddesses is kind of fun, because the Three Goddesses. Here,
I got to show you this. Look at this.
The Three Goddesses, we have the power in the salad comes from two things. It comes from, obviously, like the foundation of what greens you're using. And here in the Three Goddesses salad, we have kale, romaine, and Napa cabbage. And those are the Three Goddesses. And we read all about how they represent the goddesses in the book. We're not going to bore you with it now, but it's exciting. So that foundation is great. And then you have to have some cha-cha on top. Just the cha-cha on top of a salad makes you want to have a second bite. If it's little cucumbers or blueberries or mandarin oranges or toasted pepitas or whatever it is, zest of some sort, that adds so much to a salad. So yes, get some great greens going, but add some cha-cha on top. And then the dressings clearly pulled all together, and we have some dressings that are just amazing this time.
Steal the eye right out of your head, right?
Yeah.
Kale is Athena, romaine is Isis, and Napa is Caradwen.
Caradwen, yes. And you have to see why when you get the book. You can pre-order it, please do, because if you pre-order, actually you get a free recipe on my website with your receipt.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But not after
another thing
23rd.
Let me see what other. And you got a whole section on arugula salads. I just want you to know that over the last probably 3-4 years, I have come to love Rocket. AKA
arugula.
It's one of my favorite greens.
Yeah, I agree. And I believe that every bowl, if you're going to put other things, should have a rim of arugula and a bottom part of arugula so that it is in every bite that you're eating.
What was so funny is we were collecting salads for this cookbook, and we were collecting recipes, and you know, we went through all the, like, okay, let's see what we have. You know, mid-COVID, we sort of assessed everything. We had, like, you know, 4 breakfasts, 8 lunches, 6 dinners. We had 44 desserts. We knew we were on the right path for a book for women. But what was so funny is that all the salads, I had, like, different salads of greens and this and that. And every salad my mom sent me was a different arugula salad. She'd be like, oh, try this one. Oh, try this one. And finally, I'm like, okay, we're just going to make an Anne's arugula section.
This is something that I want before I leave here, and that's the curry cauliflower with lentils and grapes. That whole
awesome
combination, cauliflower, lentils, and grapes, has my mouth watering.
I made it one Christmas when we had a lot of family, and it was a sort of a last Christmas day. Thanksgiving. Everybody was bringing something, and I was thinking, this may not hit it. Guess what? It was the first dish that was totally bare and empty and eaten.
It was great. So, and we actually have a YouTube on it because it's
and your pro tip is to add pomegranate seeds for wonderful color at the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very Thanksgiving-ish. Thanksgiving-ish, yes. Okay, so if you guys are cool, let's move on. So one of the things that, you know, that we eat a fair amount at our house is tofu and tempeh, right? We're big fans. We're not freaked out by soy because we know the phytoestrogens actually can be very, very
protective of the breast, yeah.
Yep. Yep, which you actually do a great job explaining that here in one of the first couple chapters. But what do you like doing with tofu and tempeh?
We like to have it in all variety of ways. We like to have it usually along, I like to bake it or to pan fry it. And I pan fry, dry fry, like nothing oil. But we like to use usually a base of tamari, which is a low sodium soy sauce, and sometimes that's enough, but sometimes I want to put a little kiss of maple syrup in there to give it a luster. And if you want to take it even a little further, you can put in what gives it a little of more umami is some tomato paste, or if you don't have that, just use ketchup. And if you want to really be a pro chefy, add a wee bit of ginger. You've got some teriyaki done and done. So easy, so fun.
And Jane has made me love tempeh. In fact, the quick cooked tempeh in a pan, which we do a lot for all kinds of
demos. We do demos for the Esselstyn Foundation.
And I tell you, it's hard to get the cooked pan-fried tempeh out of the pan to show the audience because I am dying to eat it all. It's so delicious.
For me, tempeh.
You just haven't had Jane's tempeh.
Well, I know, but I want to figure out a way to get it more moist.
That's
and,
why.
No, and I had, and
it's
I had
pan
that fried. Pan fried.
You can't bake it.
It's not
dried
out.
You can't bake it.
Yeah, I had somebody on my podcast, Cooking for Peanuts, Nisha, and she does so many incredible things with tempeh.
I loved her. I loved her. Your talk with her.
Yeah. But look at you got chorizo tempeh or tofu, apple sage pan fried tempeh or tofu, savory tempeh. I mean, and I can tell you, the cubes, tell me this, because
sesame ginger top tofu.
Were the tofu cubes that you had in those big wooden salad bowls the other night, were those all the same variety, or were they different varieties?
I made six or seven tubs of tofu, so those were all the same, because I just put them all in a big dish with Sophie. She helped me make them. We just did it all with the teriyaki, which is our kind of close to our basic. Yeah. way to do it. Yeah, it was delicious.
I like rip and chain. I also like using balsamic vinegar in the
shocking
in the tofu. I mean, tofu needs to have something to give it flavor.
Shocking,
right? If you have heart disease and don't want or are concerned about the sodium, that's an alternative.
You're right. You're absolutely right, Acid Queen. You're right.
Thank you.
Let's talk appetizers. Mm-hmm. Appetizer sides and clever extras.
Oh, you've got to show that picture.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
This is such a delicious dish. Green beans, green beans with sesame crumble on it. And that there's nothing as delicious as toasted sesame seeds. Ooh.
So the first thing that I have on my list here is, and it's called a bunch of BS, meaning Brussels sprouts. And let's see, let me just see if I can find it here.
The bunch of BS is towards the end of the section. Bunch of BS.
Yeah, but you got
Brussels sprout section.
And I'm like, okay, I want the buffalo Brussels because I want a little heat. And then you've got the Brussels sprout tats. And then you got sweet and savory Brussels. I mean, all three of those just look incredible. Can you tell me about the buffalo and what makes it buffalo?
Just the heat. I mean, the nutritional yeast is kind of like, it helps give it a little bit of an essence on it. Like it gives it a presence on top of the Brussels sprouts. But you definitely have to have hot sauce and some balsamic vinegar going with it and just baking it on. It's just a delicious balance because the nutritional yeast kind of cools the heat, but it carries it really well.
And then you're doing all these on parchment paper, correct?
Yeah.
And then you cut them in half. Do you put it like the flat side down typically?
I'm not fussy about that.
You're not fussy?
Right. Can't be bothered.
All right.
I learned from the master herself.
I am fussy when I do my Brussels sprouts. All right. Let me tell you this. So this roasted cauliflower and broccoli bites, it caught my eye because I was on duty for dinner last night. I did roasted cauliflower and it turned out good, but not amazing. And but I'm looking for amazing roasted cauliflower. So, and I mean, what makes this amazing?
What makes it is just the wee bit of seasoning. If you over-season it, all you taste is seasoning because broccoli and cauliflower really are just like beautifully dressed water. And so just we have some tamari, but we water it down because we don't want to have, you cannot have too much salt. And then we have minced onion and granulated garlic, which have a little more of a presence than just garlic powder and onion powder. It's fine if you only have those, but the minced onion are little chunks of onion. And then when you cook them, it smells much different. And then just add some seeds. We have black sesame seeds, which really have it have a wonderful like visual flavor to it almost. And some poppy seeds, and then there you go. The nutritional yeast at the end on top, not sort of all throughout, but just cha-cha on top.
Now this, cauliflower fritters, I'm obviously got cauliflower on my brain right now, but cauliflower fritters, they look like they're deep fried.
Tell me
they're not.
No, they're not. Gosh. No. I have a great friend who's from India and she is plant-based and she just said, you know what? I've really had an amazing time making authentic Indian food plant strong. And my mom and I, this is again during COVID, we're like, we need a tutorial. She hosted us in her garage with the door open. It was probably 28 degrees out in Cleveland. And we sat there eating, you know, urd dal and garam masala and all different kinds of naan bread. And we learned so much from her. She took us to the Indian grocery store and we learned about finger peppers and different kinds of garam masala and on and on and on and on. And we will never even tap into the depth of Indian cooking, but these cauliflower fritters, we had the appropriate seasonings, which is worth the trip to the Indian grocery store to get them for the fritters.
So this barbecue pulled, what's it called?
Barbecue pulled portobello sliders and green goddess sauce.
I just saw that and I'm like, I need that. And it looks like they're on different wedges of polenta.
Rounds.
Polenta rounds.
Yeah. You get the
you get a chub of polenta.
Is that butter lettuce?
It's spinach or whatever green you want. And then the barbecued pulled portobellos are so fun. You just have portobello mushrooms and you take the stems and you literally pull them apart. So it looks like the strings of pulled pork kind of stuff and put a little liquid smoke and cook so the smoky flavor's in them. And then some barbecue sauce at the end just to coat them.
All right.
Cha-cha-cha.
I'm going to move on from appetizers to crackers, quick breads, and other fillers. Talk to me about beer bread.
That's mommy's favorite.
Such fun.
So, there it is. She knocked it out of the park.
After a talk, a woman came up to me and told me about this. And so I couldn't believe it because I love anything fast. I don't like a lot of ingredients. And so this is just literally, you can use, if you don't want it to be heavy, I mean, you could use oat flour, any flour, and beer, and a little baking powder. It's so fun. I'll make it tonight. Well, tomorrow.
Okay. So I also noticed, and I thought it was very cute, was Jane and Anne's short flax biscuits and Jane's tall flax biscuits. Here's a photo you can see, right? Jane is the tall ones and the thick ones, and Anne's the thin, smaller ones.
And the thing about mine is that Jane's are all so delicious, but you use walnuts in them.
Right, so one's
and
plant
so
perfect
I said,
and one's
oh,
plant
Jane,
strong.
You don't have to have walnuts in them, and so I made mine without walnuts.
And all of our recipe testers loved hers more than mine.
So wow. I got my short flax biscuits in the book.
Aye, Lottie. And we also have some soda bread. Lottie.
Soda bread.
Aye, we do. Okay, it's Clavacairn. Okay. Clavacairn soda bread. Did you see it? You cut it open the top. You put a cross on top so the fairies can get out. Aye.
There it is.
Clavacairn. I'm obsessed with Scotland, and we went to the Clavacairns, which are these unbelievable...
See, you
didn't know it. Anyway, this is so fun. The soda bread, it's delicious. It always works. It's foolproof. It's kind of like the beer bread. And anyway.
And then these seed and millet crackers, I know you've made them. I've had them. And unfortunately, you usually can't eat just one.
I can't.
They're like
M&M's.
They're like, they're
so good.
Like a wood chipper.
And they're not plant perfect, are they?
Oh yeah. No, they're plant strong. I mean, they're seed.
I think there's just some seeds. There's some
sunflower
seeds.
You say heart disease friendly, actually.
Yeah, there's some sunflower seeds in there.
Okay. It's all seeds, but it's just so good.
Chickpea flour, it's good.
All right, we're
making getting close to desserts. We're getting close to desserts.
I know we're getting close to desserts.
No, we have to get to the
but
main
first we have
meal
to do
first.
BYOB. Oh, what's dinner. That stand for?
Build your own bowl.
Which is something that I think we all would agree this lifestyle, if you want to be sustainable and easy, whether it's the open-faced sandwiches, whether it's the soups, whether it's learning how
breakfast.
To build your own bowl. But look at this. Look at this and look at that studly arm right there.
It's the only male thing in this book, my husband's arm, because he cooks all these amazing foods better than all of us.
Build your own bowl, handheld meals, and dinner feasts.
Mm. Here.
Talk to me about, I've got, talk what to me that? First, what's that?
The word pelvis means basin or bowl. Oh. Symbolically, this is more womanly and more powerful. What is more womanly, more powerful than the pelvis? What it creates, what it holds, family, life, pleasure, vitality.
Mm. So,
build your own bowl beautifully.
Well, you've got how many different bowls do you have in here?
Like
probably nine or 10. You can see how gorgeous they all are.
It's the front.
There
you go.
And it's also the front, yes.
Ish.
And what a gorgeous blue.
Don't you love it?
No, it's like, it is the most beautiful sky blue ever. And we have a great uncle and aunt. We call this Little Blue.
Little Blue. Little capital L.
Yes.
All right, so let's move on to, I love your twice baked potatoes.
Oh, open faced twice baked potatoes.
And
got
the trick. The trick
what is the
to
trick?
Them is to I like to use the Japanese sweet potatoes along along with any other
like
potato,
Yukon Gold.
But Yukon Gold are the best. So Yukon Gold and Japanese sweet potatoes combined with nutritional yeast. And they're awesome. And then I put in some kale.
When our kids are home from college, sometimes they say, like, we're going to Aunt Nessie's house, like, is Aunt going to make those open-faced potatoes? Like, I love how they call them open-faced, because they don't know they're twice baked.
And then you've also got creamy stuffed sweet potatoes.
Oh, they're good, too.
Mm.
Really good.
There's something to
me about... Nutritional yeast makes a difference in
there's
them.
There's something about twice baked potatoes, and you stir it up, it is like... It's like, I don't know, it makes it a very pleasurable, easy eating experience.
And you know, something that's so important is the power point of all potatoes is in the skin. And so many people don't eat the skin of sweet potatoes. And these sweet potatoes in here, if you recook them enough, the skin is to be absolutely fought over. It's
we
so
always
delicious.
Say, eat the hide.
Yeah.
Talk to me about crispy chicken nuggets. Because
chicken
this
nuggets.
Is this first. I look at these and I want to dip them in.
By the way,
ketchup.
It's not in chicken. It's
ketchup.
Check.
Checking you out. People are going to be checking out what you're eating because these chicken nuggets are so delicious. And
what's the base?
It's chickpeas. Look.
That's what
chickpeas and aquafaba and then some spices and oats. It's just really easy and fun. I think you guys should make them with your kids.
Okay.
You're going to love them.
I like it. You have several burgers in here. You have a favorite?
Well, you know what? They're neck and neck. Mommy has a great burger in here. A burger in a flash.
Bean burgers in a flash because I'm all for whatever is really quick.
But I really love the Woman Warrior Burger because this is a tried and true burger that actually So the origin story of our love with burgers started with Jeff Novick. He was the master and taught us all so much about burgers. Mm-hmm. And then we went on to change the recipe, you know, bazillion different ways. And we now have this Woman Warrior Burger that we love. And it's made at all the Engine 2 Plant Strong immersions. And it's a fave.
Yeah, it's...
It's just easy winner.
Yeah, it's a brilliant base for any burgers. What about this chickpea masala? Maybe you mentioned
chole.
That.
Yeah.
This is
my friend Koyan, who was teaching us all about this, of the chickpea masala, or it's called chole, and she just has mastered this, and it's so beautifully done. And the key is these green, they're finger peppers, they're small, and the right garam masala. Brian's bowls. Oh, yum yum yum.
All right, we're moving on now. All right, we're moving on. We're getting towards dessert here. So dreamy, daring, and delicious desserts. I've got a list here, but if there's anything that you want to add to it, talk to me first about peanut butter gelato because, oh my gosh, well, I agree. I agree, and I actually have this on my list, and I wanted to talk about it because it is in every one of my books or a version of it, and this is a sweet potato. And you're calling this sweet potato and cashew ricotta lasagna. This is piled up like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Look at that. Is that just brilliant? And I want to have that for dinner tonight.
It's my husband, Brian.
Is that a labor of love?
It's such a labor of love. And Brian makes this. And it's just so interesting. He takes all the vegetables and the cashew ricotta, or if you want to do it with tofu or a cannellini bean, to make it more heart disease friendly, he just puts it all together. So the ricotta and veggies are all one layer, and then you use multiple layers of that amongst all the sauce and noodles. And the twice baked potatoes, open face. Yeah.
So let's.
Oh, rip, pie. This is so. These are those.
I know. Those are
the creamy stuffed sweet potatoes. They are just so good.
Lollipop.
I know.
Oh, so good.
So talk to me about peanut butter gelato, and I'm gonna find the photo.
Oh,
I mean,
this gelato, we had that plant stock last year. I was testing on these guys, and it is so just, we have always made silken tofu based puddings, frostings, mousses, and we just took it a step further and sort of pulled some of the water out with extra like dish towels and stuff, and then added some nut butter. So this is not a heart disease friendly dessert, but add some nut butter, blur it all up. It freezes beautifully. It is so, it just, you can just scoop it out with an ice cream scoop. It's so good. I mean, Brian, look at this. Can't you just hear that, like.
No, it's, and you know, peanut butter or anything, I'm like.
And you add cocoa to it, sucker. And you've got the chocolate. And if you use almond butter, it doesn't have that peanut butter flavor behind it. But if you want the peanut butter chocolate, go for it.
Do you have a favorite brownie in here?
Oh my God.
I'm caught by the out-of-sight brownies, but I mean.
Okay. Let me just rip.
No.
You're listening to me? Rip.
Okay, rip. Yes.
During COVID, we were writing this book. And my husband and I were watching a lot of TV at that COVID time. So at night, we would be sitting there watching TV, maybe 8 or 9, and the door would rattle, and I would begin to salivate. It was sort of like, I just was salivating because I knew that Jane was coming with another version of her brownies for us to try. And finally, it took, how many tries, Jane?
12.
12 tries on one.
We had three brownies we were testing, and we did about 12 times each. So we had months of...
And finally, my Essie said, this one is out of sight.
Oh.
So that's why we call it out of sight.
Out of sight. What about this amaretto cherry chocolate hazelnut scone?
Yeah. We have scones in the Engine 2 cookbook, which we love. Then there's kind of a basic, like, hey, make these scones and add some chocolate chips or maybe add some raisins or whatever you want. But here, we just went like a whole new level with it and added amaretto, which gives it a flavor that is just, it's like reminiscent. And we added toasted walnuts and chocolate chips.
The
and,
more things
and
in it, the better.
Yeah, the more items we have, the better. We've learned that. And my mom is awful. I bring them over and she picks all the pecans out of them or the hazelnuts. And then she just picks, so you have this like carcass of a scone. It's still very good, but you're very funny. How about that?
You know, I need a little stretch here. Can somebody talk about this couch and what the history of it and what makes it so special?
Well, this is a very deep couch.
It's
in fact, two people easily sleep on it.
I know. Look at this. I mean.
And when my husband's family was house was getting
divvied up,
everybody sat in a room, and we had photos of every article. And so we went around by age, and so he was second in his family, and the Sally, I don't remember what she chose. He chose the brown couch. That was his first choice.
Good move, Daddy.
Yeah. All right, let's talk now I think we need to talk the lemon pie squares.
You won't believe, Rip. Oh my God, we've got to make these, Jane.
Mm-hmm.
You will not believe what the basis of the lemon.
Okay, well, lemon pie squares, like Rip, see the base, what you base, you know, there's the crust, if you will, of.
Is it lemon pie bowl?
No. The lemon pie squares. The base of this is a raisin and pecans, lightly toasted. So it's a really flavorful base. And
wait,
then the top
wait, Jane,
is...
Stop before you go beyond the crust. Because we also have to experiment with your cereal as the crust for this sometime.
I think that Amy just showed how it can be done
with just your crust. Anyway.
Right, so the crust here is delicious. And then the topping is, like I said earlier, about all these these silken firm tofus that we make. You know, we've got 8 versions in here. We've got like lemon, lime, blackberry, blueberry, red. Got a million of them. But this is the lemon as the topping. I know you guys can't see what we're talking about. So but here, I'm just going to do
it. Lemon mousse.
This is the crust and the topping. And then the lemon, the filling. So when you've had a lemon square maybe, or you've seen them in your life. So I was just desperate to figure out how to make that sort of gelatinous. So what do you know what we used?
Such
a healthy ingredient.
You use
beginning of the day ingredient.
Oats.
No, well, yeah, that's everyone's like, oh, did you use like agar? And I'm like, no aquafaba. We have in the breakfast section, we didn't talk about it, but we have a lemon oatmeal. And it had some lemon in it, a little, you know, maple syrup in it, and some zest in it. So I just amped up our lemon oatmeal with like more zest, more juice, more syrup. And then I put it in the fridge. And it, you know how when you refrigerate oatmeal, it becomes like just like, and it sets. and it's sliceable. Like in Scotland, they take their oats and they put them in the drawer. And then in the morning, they just take, they cut a section and they put it in their sporran and they hike over the Loch Lomond. Anyway, the lemon oats, I spread on top of the crust, refrigerate, and then you put the other topping on and you have these amazing lemon squares.
So
and
delicious.
They are teenager approved.
We had a version of these the other day, gingered minty melon balls and orange juice.
Yeah.
I think this is, if you're looking for a very clean, hot summer day dessert, you can't go.
Cannot go wrong.
And it's so easy.
And the three things that I think are magic and where you can do it with watermelon, with anything, combination of every kind of fruit, is add some fresh squeezed orange juice, fresh mint, and a little lime.
It amps it up to a you can't believe how well it amps
so
it up.
So it's so delicious.
And you've also got cookies in here.
Oh, such fun cookies. Pepparkakor. If you've heard of pepparkakor, it's a Swedish cookie and you put it in your hand. Here's a pepparkakor, but the pepparkakor, you put it in your hand and when you tap it, if it divides into three parts, your wish comes true. It took us so many tries to get that photo when we both had the three parts.
The cookie that I just absolutely love in here are your vanilla wafers.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like something out of Squid Games. That may have gone over your head. But
no,
those of you that have seen it, you know
I've seen
I'm
Squid
about.
Games. That would be a scary one because you'd be like.
Yeah. Three pieces otherwise. Curtains for you. All right. So cookies. What is this? Because I want that.
Yeah. Oh, that's called our Zander tart. Like there's a Linzer tart. So these famous sort of European things. And our Zander tart, a friend of ours named Zander was driving through our house on his way during COVID to go west. And he tested it. And he was like, this is really good. But I didn't put the beautiful raspberries in the tofu to make it. It was kind of this gray tofu. And he's like, it doesn't look so good, but it tastes amazing. And I was like, okay, I'm going to stick with it. But as soon as we put the fruit into the tofu mix, it again was next level. Wow. So,
well,
approved.
Thank you, everybody, for like letting us go through this labor of love that Jane and Anne have put together.
That was an exhaustive tour. If you're still with us, I'm so impressed with you.
Well, I'm impressed with Rip and your reading through this book. And getting all
listen,
this.
I am smitten with
because
it.
Because you didn't have very much time because
it just came, we just got it.
We just got it.
Yeah. Anne, let me ask you this, and then I'm going to ask you, Jane. What are you most excited for right now? Going forward, 2022, what are you most excited about? And if you need time to think, I can go to Jane.
I am most excited that somehow our country can come together and agree on the things that are right for human beings. And one of them is plant-based nutrition.
You're being an adorable bully again. Okay.
Eat plant-based.
How about
everyone?
How about you, Jane?
I'm so excited about, like, it's hard to get beyond, like the first thing in my mind is always my three kids. So I'm excited about what they're doing this summer and what's happening with them. But if I can get beyond that and think about like what I'm excited about, I'm excited about our book coming out on August 23rd, 2022. This feels like, I mean, for me, it's sort of special. And I'm not trying to disclude my dad, who's the foundation of it all, or my brother, especially Rip, who's launched me into this space by including me on the first cookbook. But I'm so excited to have this. I'm so excited to have done this with my mother. Because, I mean, it's like the coolest thing you could do, I think. Because eating is not, it's a non-optional. If you can cook, you are so free. If you can make your own food, you are so empowered. And I love that this is a multi-generational gift that we've been given. Like his 8-year-old made dinner for all of us the other night. And
by the way, Rip and Jill were lying down on the bed upstairs while Hope was cutting cucumbers, mango,
red peppers,
all beautifully cut so we could all have her
spring rolls.
Spring rolls.
So I'm excited about having this not just be, like, right now it's multi-generational, three generations. I'm excited to see how this can become four generations and just get more infectious and larger and, you know, help so many people going forward.
You know, I feel that the biggest gift, which my husband originated, the biggest gift that we have passed on to our four children and then also, and then to our 10 grandchildren and their all children's spouses is plant-based eating. And I feel that it is the gift that we hope we can pass on to everybody out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Mm-hmm. Right?
Cheers.
Yeah. I am excited about so many things, but I am excited about seeing you guys in Cleveland at the Knob, not only for the Labor Day, but after that for Plantstock, the 11th.
And, we're coming
and,
out of
and,
this.
And digging into recipes from this book with you guys. So, Anne, thank you for everything. Jane.
Rip.
And you guys, thanks for being on the Plantstock podcast again.
Thank you.
And Rip, we're going to use some of your broths.
Okay. All right. Bye, everybody. Peace. Engine 2, keep it plant strong.
Thank you.
And be a
plant-based woman warrior. Live fierce. Stay bold. Eat delicious.
Yeah. I'll be sure to put a link to order this book along with their zany, wonderful YouTube channel in the show notes at plantstrongpodcast.com. Thanks so much, as always, for bringing my family along with you on your plant-based journey. And from the entire Esselstyn family to yours, always keep it plant strong. The Plant Strong podcast team includes Carrie Barrett, Lori Kordowich, Amy Mackey, Patrick Gavin, and Wade Clark. This season is dedicated to all of those courageous truth seekers who weren't afraid to look through the lens with clear vision and hold firm to a higher truth. Most notably, my parents, Dr. Caldwell B. Esselstyn Jr. and Anne Cryle Esselstyn. Thanks for listening. I want to personally invite you to join me and all the other Brock stars for this year's 13th live and in-person Plantstock event outside of Asheville, North Carolina in the little town of Black Mountain. It's 1,500 acres, is loaded with wildlife, trees, trails, streams. It is a nature wonderland. And what's also a wonderland are all the incredible speakers that you get to hang with all weekend long, like Jane and Ann Esselstyn, Dr. Will Bolshewitz of Fiberfueled, Carly Bodrug, Miss Plant U, Dr. Gemma Newman is over from the UK. We have Dr. Dawn Musalem from the Mayo Clinic, John Mackey, the ex-CEO of Whole Food Market Stores, myself, Brian Hart, and a special appearance by the Plant Bros. Here's the kicker. All these Brock stars are there from Friday till Sunday, and they want to rub elbows with all of you, whether it's over buffets of Plant Strong fare for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, whether it's going on an afternoon hike, a swim, pickleball, frisbee golf, kickball, cornhole, dancing. We're having live music. It's all there in this fun weekend extravaganza that we affectionately call Plantstock. Simply go to liveplantstrong.com and then click on Plantstock 2024 and grab yourself a ticket before they sell out. See you there.